Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us.
Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination.
One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Welcome in, everybody, to a special Tuesday edition of Football 24/7. It's cut down day, and the Eagles' initial 53-man roster has been released. A couple key cuts. Couple bubble guys that made the roster, joined now by John McMullen, who was live from the NovaCare complex. He was down for Howie Roseman and Nick Sirianni's press conference this afternoon. Johnny Mac, how you doing on this Tuesday evening, sir?
Good. Long day. Finally over. We finally got to the initial 53, but that was, I think, Howie's biggest message is it ain't over. I mean, you know, there's a lot of people over the next 24 hours that are going to look at it and say, oh, they only have two tight ends. They don't have a backup center. As he tried to stress, wait a minute. The 60-man practice squad is coming. They'll probably make some tweaks to the 53 as well. And he mentioned that 70 player is sort of what the Eagles view the whole thing as, not just the 53. So more stuff to come, but a little bit defensive heavy.
Yeah, man, 28 guys on defense, Johnny Mac.
Yeah, I've been talking about that over recent days. I mean, they have better depth pieces on defense than offense, and I think that showed today. They were more worried about losing guys potentially on waivers on the defensive side than the offensive side. And you see the numbers were 28 to 22 defense versus offense. And then you have the three specialists. So, very, very heavy. They kept six edge players, six defensive tackles, and 11 people in the secondary. So they went heavy everywhere, basically.
Yep, and five linebackers, pretty crazy stuff. John, they kept McCollum, Tristan McCollum, the safety, which was a surprise to me. James Bradbury still on the roster. Thomas Booker, Patrick Johnson, a couple of those bubble players, Johnny Mac. Seems like most of them got in. I don't want to lead you down one path or another, but just what were your overall takeaways from the initial 53? Did anything surprise you? What was the most surprising stuff to you, or what stuck out to you in the initial 53?
Yeah, I think, I had him keeping six on the edge, so I had him keeping Patrick Johnson, but yeah. I thought they would decide between Thomas Booker and Marlon Tuipulotu. They kept them both, and I thought they would choose between James Bradbury and Tristan McCollum, and they kept them both, which tells you sort of what I was talking about with the and specifically when you're talking about waivers, that would be people like McCollum and Booker trying to get through waivers and the Eagles, and certainly Eli Ricks as well as a player that last year the Eagles were concerned about losing on waivers, and this year concerned about losing on waivers because, you know, let's be honest, you've added Quinyon Mitchell, you've added Cooper DeJean, you've added Isaiah Rogers. It's very unlikely that Eli Ricks is going to be on the field barring multiple injuries, but the Eagles didn't want to risk losing him.
Yeah, it must be a projection on him, John, for the future because, you know, I literally was debating it right before the 53 came out on whether they were going to go him or Josh Jobe. They went with Eli, and I'm thinking, boy, at sixth or seventh cornerback, you're not going to be on the field much, so you might as well have a guy there that can contribute on the special teams. Josh is obviously very good at that. Now, maybe they get him back or they try and get him through waivers and get him on the practice squad, but I was a little surprised they kept Eli Ricks. They must like the player for the long term. What did you think of that move?
Yeah, I was debating that back and forth on my final 53. I originally put Josh Jobe, and I changed it at the last minute to Eli Ricks because they value the upside of the coverage more than the special teams aspect. And it basically comes down to they're pretty comfortable that they'll get Jobe through waivers, and they can put him on the practice squad, and then you can – you know, you can elevate him to play special teams against Green Bay in Brazil. And that's what Howie was kind of talking about. But obviously there's a little bit of risk anytime you put anybody on waivers. And the Eagles have been through this before with a special teams player in Christian Ellis that they tried to sneak through waivers during the season and weren't able to get it done. But it's a little bit easier to hide players when 1,100 hit the open market at the same time. So a little bit easier to sneak him through this time of year.
Yeah, no doubt about it. John, Dylan McMahon, the only rookie to get waived today. What'd you think of that move? And what do you think they'll end up doing at that backup center? Maybe it's as simple as Dylan gets through waivers. They practice squad and they elevate him. What do you think they do there?
Yeah, I think they'll get Dylan back to the practice squad, but I don't think he's ready to be the backup center. So I do think there's going to be multiple moves on the offensive line. Nick Gates is a guy who I thought was going to make it, didn't make it.
Yeah.
They could bring him back on the practice squad as a veteran player, elevate him, and all of a sudden you have your backup center, which I think is probably plan A. But Howie mentioned you got to be ready with contingencies in case, you know, somebody like Nick Gates might look around and say, well, there's a better opportunity for me in a different city that's maybe more offensive line deficient. So you have to be ready with multiple sort of plans and options, and Howie's usually very good at that stuff. But I would think the most likely scenario is that they're bringing both of those players back, Nick Gates and Dylan McMahon, and if they, you know, if they get to September 6th, it's more likely that Nick Gates would be the one elevated to be the backup center. And then the worst case scenario is that in game, if something were to happen to Cam Jurgens and you don't have someone, Landon Dickerson would simply move over to play center.
Yeah, which would definitely be worst case, but I guess that's what they'd have to do.
Yeah, I don't know if it'd be worst case for performance at center, but, you know, Jeff Stoutland, I mean, Landon's a very good center.
Yeah.
And he was a very good center in college, but Jeff has been pretty consistent, Jeff Stoutland, saying he doesn't like moving parts. He doesn't want to affect two positions generally, but, you know, it is, if people are having trouble sleeping at night, you got a pretty good backup center. It's just a matter that he's a Pro Bowl left guard. So,
yeah, no doubt about it. John, what'd you make of the other offensive linemen? They kept nine. The backups were Trevor Keegan, Tyler Steen, Darian Kennard, which was a surprise to me. And then Fred Johnson, who I figured would make the team. What'd you make of those four that they kept as backups?
Yeah, I don't like the depth, to be honest. That was one of my initial thoughts. I put up at Sports Illustrated, you know, sort of right away, you do your immediate reactions. And, right. and the offensive line depth concerns me. You know, it's tough. We've lived through, anybody who's followed the Eagles has lived through Lane Johnson not being on the field and the difference. So it's not like you can replace players like that, but Fred Johnson being your swing tackle, I don't know if I'd be comfortable with that. You know, Tyler Steen lost the right guard job essentially, and he's hurt on top of it with the ankle. Trevor Keegan is hurt with a hip injury. And then you mentioned Kennard. Kennard, I was high on a little bit earlier in camp, but he did seem to fall back. The Eagles thought he did enough. I don't look at that as a strength of this team than it typically is, offensive line and offensive line depth. Now, the starting offensive line is tremendous, but I don't think they're equipped to handle injuries right now.
Yeah, no doubt. We'll see what they end up doing with that offensive line and the depth there. I think McMahon gets through waivers and he's back, but we'll see what Howie Roseman ends up doing. John, let's move to that second spot on the offense. Let's go to the tight end room. As projected, only two tight ends on the roster, a couple others in the league who were released as well today. What do you make of the two that they kept in terms of, you know, just deciding to go with two, and what do you see him doing from here?
Oh yeah, they're not going with two. I mean, they're going to add multiple bodies. It's just a matter of are they going to add one on the 53? Ultimately, they will at some point, and they're going to have multiple bodies on the practice squad at least to start. But I mean, Kellen Moore likes to play 12 personnel a decent amount of the time, and if you're going to do that, you need a backup. You need a game day backup. So. Somebody's going to be there for Green Bay. Might be as simple as Jack Stoll bringing him back. Might be as simple as getting EJ Jenkins back and putting him on the practice squad, elevating him, or they can go outside the organization. I mentioned Peyton Hendershot as a player from Dallas, but he already got traded, so he never got to the waiver wire. But yeah, they're going to add multiple bodies at tight end over the next few days. And yeah, it's just a starting point. And that's kind of what Howie was trying to address. And afterwards, he told us he wished he could talk at tomorrow. And we said, well, you can. There's nothing against. He can talk anytime he wants. He's not going to. But he was saying it for the instead of talking today, he would like to talk tomorrow when the whole process is done, because
right.
you can't talk about certain things about who they have, you know, circled to bring back and all that.
Right. So he has incomplete thoughts. Yeah.
And it is. And it is difficult for him. But I mean, like I said, he can talk both days. He can do it in a different way. But everybody's hyper focused on the 53. And It truly is. He is right when he says that it's about the 70, not the 53.
Yeah, no doubt. A lot of fans looking for the Bradbury comments. We will get there. Don't worry. Working our way through the offense right now. John, let's go wide receiver. I got to be honest, John, when I saw what was happening with Anaya Smith, I thought, okay, that means Paris Campbell will be here. They decide to keep five wide receivers, Paris Campbell on the way out. I thought he'd be here. What do you make of what they did at the wide receivers with the five they kept and the decision to move on from Paris Campbell?
Yeah, I thought for a couple reasons, not only with Anias, but also because of Jahan Dotson and the fact that, you know, he's new and it's going right. to take him a little while to
yeah, exactly.
Learn the offense. And I think at least early in the season, you keep Paris Campbell around. I was talking to Andrew DiCecco. By the way, Andrew's going to join us at 9:20 tomorrow, letting you know. Mike Gill's going to be on at 8:20, so tune in to Burst 365 tomorrow morning. But, yeah, I thought it was a good, you know, Andrew brought up Marcus Wheaton. They kept him for a week or two at the beginning of the season a couple of years ago, and I thought that's maybe how they would handle it with Paris Campbell. Maybe you need him early, and you don't need him when Jahan Dotson gets up to speed. I thought that would have been a nice safety net. And then on an ice, it was interesting because Howie, and that was, you know, I asked him about that new rule about the injured reserve guys. You couldn't do that before, and they designated both Anaya Smith and Albert Gwegbanon to return. I'm a little surprised by that from both.
The Albert O one is really surprising to me.
Yeah, well, I was told they were moving on from Albert O earlier in the day, and now, you know, maybe the injury was a little bit, he had to have evidently core muscle surgery, so maybe a little bit too extensive to get an injury settlement done. But Howie intimated that they think both of those players, Anais and Albert, can help later in the season. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know, but yeah, a little bit strange from that aspect of it. And I wouldn't count on that from now with Anais. I mean, I think there's a chance that he can get healthy and maybe settle down a little bit. You saw him late in camp, get a little bit more confidence, and, you know, he was a good college player, and hopefully that could be a reclamation project of sorts. But, you know, Albert's been here for a while, and he hasn't done much.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We'll see what they end up doing there. John, what do you think they'll do with that six wide receiver spot? You think they're comfortable with five, or are they going to try and get another body in there?
Yeah, no, I think they're comfortable with five. Right now, I mean, they'll have multiple bodies on the practice squad, but I think they're comfortable with five on the 53. And I don't think that's a late position. In fact, you know, most of us projected them to keep six, but that's because they drafted two players, you know. And I kind of mentioned a number of times that Howie pigeonholed himself by taking two day three receivers that he wants to keep. And he manipulated it with the IR with Anaya Smith. But, you know, it would have been, you have Johnny Wilson on Anaya Smith on the back end of the roster, and they're not really going to help you that much. Maybe Johnny Wilson gets some red zone snaps if it gets past this concussion. As a big body guy, he could help you down there. But as far as being a well-rounded receiver, and that's one of my concerns, if Dotson's not up to speed, well, then you got to go to Britton Covey, who's, I think, ready to play, but he's strictly a slot player. Or Johnny Wilson, who basically is strictly a one-trick pony at this point as well. So you become much more limited if you get down to those two players.
Rounding out the offense, John, I don't think we need to address quarterback. We know what they did there, why they did it, and that won't be changing. So Jalen Hurts, Kenny Pickett and Tanner McKee are your three quarterbacks, but I will ask about the running backs. They went with three. That was our thought, that they would go with three. I don't think they would add more than that, but what do you think they'll do with some of the practice squad guys? And what do you think overall what they did at the running back position?
Yeah, not surprised they kept three. I mean, a lot of teams are going with three now. It's a devalued position. And if you need somebody, you're going to keep one or two on the practice squad. You just elevate them from there on a particular week. And they had three guys, Kendall Milton, Lou Nichols, Ty Davis-Price, all candidates to be back. Probably keep two of the three, I would say. If I were to bet, it would be Kendall Milton and Ty Davis-Price, but you know, again, a little bit of a calculated gamble. Somebody else needs a running back. You could always lose them, but they're not high profile guys that I think are you're going to be concerned about losing. They needed roster spots to keep a bunch of defenders, obviously, which is ironic because everybody looks at the Eagles and says what a great offense they have, and they do from a starting perspective, but they wanted to keep defenders on the back end of the roster.
No doubt, John. Let's move into that defense, as you just pointed out there. We'll start with that defensive front. It's a lot of bodies, John McMullen, on that defensive front. 6 defensive tackles and 6 edge rushers. What are your overall thoughts on the whole D-line? We'll start with the defensive tackles, John. They kept 6 there. What'd you make of what they did there?
Well, yeah, I do think, you know, that's a little bit of an overkill. And you start to speculate, all right, if they are bringing in a tight end, for instance, on the 53, who's going to go? And it's got to be somebody from the defensive side. And
it has to be, yeah.
You would think the 2 candidates would be, or 3 candidates would be, Marlon Tuipulotu, Thomas Booker at defensive tackle, one or the other, and then Eli Ricks at corner. Right. You would think those would be the 3 in the conversation. And the reason I kept Marlon over Thomas on my projection was because of his ability to play nose tackle and shade and be a backup to Jordan Davis, which Thomas, you know, you can line up there. Like Milton Williams can line up there, as Vic Fangio said during one of his press conferences, but he's not equipped to do it from a physical standpoint. Same thing with Thomas, I would say. So I would think he'd be the more likely scenario. So, you know, there's certain guys who can't rest assured that they make the 53-man roster because there will be tweaks over the next few days.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Let's go to the edge rushers, John. We kind of talked about it a little bit there, but just to dive deeper into it, Patrick Johnson makes the roster. I thought for sure he would make it, so I'm happy that he did make it. What'd you think of what they did at the edge rushers? It's a lot of them.
Yeah, I that's one where I had him keeping 6 for that reason. I mean, I never even debated Patrick Johnson.
They couldn't cut him. He just looked too good.
Yeah. I mean, he made this football team, not only in the games, but in practice as well. And you could argue he's their 4th best edge rusher right now. And you know, hopefully I've argued he's in the conversation to be most improved. If people were allowed into practice, they would probably see that. He's sort of remade his body, did a lot of work to get himself in better shape. And he might be a guy you should keep your eye on as being more important than most people think, because he's really worked at it this offseason. And, you know, for all the concern about Nolan Smith and, you know, whether Jalix Hunt is a red shirt, you know, maybe he won't care if Patrick Johnson can break through.
Yeah, I think Patrick Johnson has a sneaky chance to be the fourth edge rusher on this team. Maybe on a great day, the 3rd, probably not. But if if Nolan Smith for some reason doesn't pan out at all, you're looking at a depth problem. You know, you got Jalix Hunt, Brandon Graham, the other 3 guys. You might have Patrick Johnson. He might be getting significant time this year. So we'll see what ends up happening. But I'm happy they kept him. I think it was the right move.
Yeah, and I think that wasn't, you know, there's some difficult decisions. I don't think that was a difficult decision for the Eagles.
Yeah, I agree.
I think that was that one was pretty easy for him.
I agree. Let's move into that secondary. Let's move to that second level. Let's go to the linebackers, John. They keep 5, about what we projected. We thought maybe Oren Burks had a chance because I think he's an NFL linebacker. What'd you make of what they did at the linebacker room? Ben Van Sumer and Johnny Mack makes the team.
Yeah, it would have been interesting if Oren stayed healthy, was healthy in the summer, but he wasn't. And that made the decision way easier. Oren did make it back by the end of camp, and maybe they can get him back to the practice squad. But he is an NFL linebacker. And, yeah, Ben Van Sumer, very similar to Patrick Johnson, he just made the football team. Yeah. And I don't think that – as much of a and that probably surprises people outside of Philadelphia who know Oren Burks and his history and you know, being a good backup linebacker and a good special teams player.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
While the world whizzes by, enjoy a moment of me time with Tim Horton's $6 breakfast bundle. Savor a small hot or iced coffee, then add your choice of a mouth-watering hot breakfast sandwich. Mm. And a crispy golden hash brown.
Ooh.
And your pick of a classic donut.
Yeah.
All for $6. All just for you. Make your mornings all about me time with our $6 breakfast bundle. Available at your neighborhood Tim Hortons. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
And Ben's a very young player, but yeah, he just played really well this summer, and it never, you know, Nick Sirianni always talks about the ebbs and flows. You never really saw that with Ben. It was pretty consistently good. And he's one of their best special teams players on top of it. And, you know, I don't think anybody's talking about him or thinking about him at linebacker right now, but I say it all the time, and I saw some people in the chat this morning saying, oh, you can't compare Ben. Yeah, you haven't seen him play. Yeah, you can, because he's every bit as good as any other linebacker they have, except for N'Kobe Dean, in my mind.
Good stuff for Ben Van Sumeren. Happy to see him make the team. John, let's move into that secondary now, boy. That's a lot of bodies, Johnny Mack. 12 on the line, 11 in the back. You got 7 corners, 4 safeties. You could really argue it's 6 and 5, depending on what you want, how you want to put Avante Maddox. But let's start with the corners, John. 7 deep with Avante. What do you think about what they did there?
Yeah, it's and you know, whether you consider it, as you said, 6 corners. I consider it 6 corners, 5 safeties.
Yeah, that's kind of how I was viewing it too. But on the depth chart, they put him as a corner.
Yeah, it seems like they've made the transition. But guess what? If something happens tomorrow, he'll be back playing corner. And that's at least some of the versatility. James Bradbury as well. I mean, he's a corner. He's not really a safety, but he's playing safety for now. I mean, I've said it a lot, and I found it very hard to believe that Howie was going to take it this far and wake up this morning and say, all right, end of the road, I'm going to cut James Bradbury. I never thought that was an option. Turns out I got that one right. He's here. He's going to kick the can down to the trade deadline if need be. Now, if somebody wants to trade for him tomorrow, he could trade him, but he's not going to cut him. And I have no problem with it. He's a professional. He's going to help the young corners. And yes, corners I'm talking about, cause he's been a great corner in this league for a lot of years. And he's got tremendous versatility to now to play a little bit of safety. So I've always thought that Vic Fangio would like him, and that's turned out to be true as well. Some of the other, like, you know, Eli, the Eagles love his coverage ability and love the upside. And,
yeah,
you know, Howie always says, can never have enough corners, but it's hard to envision him getting on the field at any point with all the depth they have at cornerback. And, you know, Tristan McCollum is a great story, and I'm happy he made this team, and I know a bunch of people are happy he made this team, but Sidney Brown is coming. So
yeah,
Yeah. Don't get used to it.
Yeah, John, one corner I want to ask you about, and you mentioned Eli Ricks, and like I said earlier in the show, it does really seem like they like the guy long-term. I thought they were going to go Josh Jobe for the special teams. Josh Jobe was waived today. What do you think his future is? Will they try and get him back? You think they'll get him back? What are they going to do with Josh Jobe?
Yeah, I do. I do think they'll get him back on the practice squad. Unfortunately, he's not a very good corner, but he's a very good special teams player. Mm-hmm. I don't think a lot of people in this league put that much emphasis on special teams anymore. Maybe they should. That's a different conversation. But they value the other part much more. And that's sort of – that's why the Eagles kept one. And that's why it changed at the very end. Right. Like, if it comes down to it, the Eagles are going to keep the coverage guy. And that turns out to be the case. It was the case last year. It was the case this year. And I do think they're right in that interest. I mean, I think they're going to get Josh Jobe back. So you'll never know if they would have gotten Eli Ricks through waivers. They probably would have, but there's a bigger chance that he would have been claimed than Josh Jobe, I think.
No doubt.
And that's sort of what they're weighing.
Yeah, right. Agreed. I see what you're saying there. Let's go safeties, John. You already mentioned him a little bit. I was happy to see Tristan McCollum make the roster. James Bradbury is back. What'd you make of what they did at the safety position?
Yeah, well, again, if you count James and Aponte at safety, they kept five, so they're heavy everywhere. Even linebacker. I mean, there's a lot of teams that only keep four linebackers now, and they kept obviously five there. So they went heavy at every position on defense, essentially. And that's because I think they have better backups on defense, which I've been saying for the past few weeks. And I think that kind of the organization sort of showed that they believe that's the case as well. So I'm more focused in the coming days on how you shore up the depth on the offense. I think they're very solid when it comes to depth on the defensive side.
Yeah, no doubt. John, a lot of people in the chat asking about Caden Stearns. Like, what, you know, they brought him in and he's been limping ever since he's been here. Does he have any role in this team in the future? Are they stashing him for some reason? Do they need a sixth safety? Like, what's the deal with Caden Stearns?
No, I mean, he was waived with a non-football injury because it was it dates back to his original injury. So, you know, that's sort of a labeling process, but he's not healthy right now. I guess
does that labeling mean anything in terms, like, is he not available to be picked up by another team because of that?
Well, right now he's waived with non-football injury designation. So he has to go through waivers. When he gets through waivers, and he will because he's hurt, and everybody knows that now, he reverts to the Eagles' injured reserve list. And, you know, they could stash him there or they can work out an injury settlement. And that'll be the definition of did they like him enough to wait, or did they just want to come in? Did they just want him to come in so they can gauge where he is from a health perspective? And, you know, maybe they say, all right, if you get healthy, we'll revisit this down the road. But no, to me, it's not going to be, because remember, they already used the two IR designated to return spots already.
Yeah, which I didn't understand with Albert O, but... Whatever.
No, I don't understand that at all, but they used him. So
Anais Smith, though, I understand. I mean, you spent the draft pick on him. All right, let's put him there and see, you know, if he can be something for us in the future. Albert O, I can't understand for the life of me.
Yeah, but from the standpoint, yeah, we can debate those players, and I agree with you on Albert O. But, like, if Stearns goes on IR, he's done for the season with the Eagles.
Right.
Now, again, they could work out an injury settlement. Depending how long that injury settlement is, you go plus 3 weeks on the Eagles, and then you could sign him down the road. But it's very unlikely that he's going to be a part of this team. They're not stashing him for this year.
Yep, no doubt. John, any other thoughts on the 53 as it stands right now? I understand it's not done yet. The process is really just beginning. As Howie pointed out, the roster is not complete. But any other thoughts on the 53 here?
I think we hit it all. I think the biggest thing Howie tried to get through today was that settle down.
Yeah. You could tell John all he wanted to say was that today.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to have a backup center. He didn't say that, but he's essentially saying that. We're going to have another tight end. He didn't say that, but he did say that, if you know what I mean. The message is give it a while. Noon tomorrow is when you can start getting people back on the practice squad. I expect to see guys like Andre Sam and EJ Jenkins and Josh Jobe and Dylan McMahon and Kendall Milton and players like that back on the practice squad quickly. Then you have the extra international player that's probably going to be Lakin Vaca. I gotta get used to saying his name. Vakalahi, but you do have to go
through.
Is
that how you pronounce it? I think I was saying like Vakalahi.
I tell you the truth, I haven't seen a phonetic spelling yet, but that's my guess. But
okay.
I don't know if that's not official. But you have to waive that player, and then you get him back if he gets through waivers, and you can put him back on. That's your 70th player,
right?
As an international,
because it's 53, 16 practice squad, and then the international guy.
Yes,
right? Yeah.
But you do have to waive that international player in case somebody wants to pick him up through waivers and give him a spot on the 53, which ain't gonna happen. So he should be back, and by all accounts, the Eagles seem to like him. So obviously long-term developmental player, but yeah, so he should be back as well.
John, just a couple more questions before I let you get out of here. Great report. Appreciate you doing it this evening. Appreciate everybody in the chat. Thanks, everybody, for being here. Over 400 watching, so thank all of you guys on YouTube, and another almost 200 on our other platforms. So make sure you guys hit that like button if you're enjoying the content. Johnny Mac's working hard, so drop that like button, hit that like button for Johnny Mac. John, anything?
We got to get over 1,000, man. You know, everybody's doing stinking the Eagles shows now. Zach and Bo and
everybody, Johnny Mac. We were one of the first ones to consistently do an Eagles show every single day, all through the offseason.
And the Inquirer guys, EJ, I'm like, come on, guys, come on.
That's the way of the market, Johnny Mac. That's all right. Happy to know that we were one of the first to do it. And this is year four for Birds 365 on YouTube. So appreciate everybody in the chat. John, anything? What was the most surprising? I'm going to go both sides. The most surprising player that didn't make the team, or the initial 53 at least, and then the most surprising guy that did make the team for you.
That didn't make the team. I think it was Nick Gates. I was full on board. I thought Nick Gates was going to.
Yeah, you had me convinced, Johnny Mac. I got burned on that too.
Yeah, a lot of people got burned on that. I thought, and it might be as simple as, you know, he's a veteran. They might want to sign him after week one, so his salary's not guaranteed. It might be one of those manipulations. I do think he's going to be back, unless he gets a better job elsewhere. But he was the most surprising because I don't think there's a ton of depth on the offensive line. And that's a guy, and we were having this discussion, a couple of reporters. It wouldn't surprise me if he was their starting right guard at some point this season, because Mekhi Becton seems to be a, you know, nagging knee injury. And we know Tyler Steen has not wowed people. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if he was starting games for the Philadelphia Eagles at some point this season, and he didn't make, and still, I'm still saying this, and he didn't make the 53, because I think he's going to be back. So he would be my most surprising player who didn't make it. And probably the one who did. There were three candidates, McCollum, but I think he played very well, so I didn't go with him. Booker, for the same reason, and then Darian Kennard. And I think partially because of what I just said about Gates, I thought Gates would have that spot. So de facto, I think I was most surprised that Darian Kennard made it over Nick Gates.
Good stuff, Johnny. Matt, a couple more questions. John, what'd you take away from the press conference? Howie and Nick spoke today. Nick looked a little bit like a deer in the headlights. He looked like he was stressed out again, man.
They were both.
Yeah, they were both lethargic up there.
Very tired.
No doubt.
I mean, it is a brutal time of year from a personnel standpoint. I mean, they're going right back. There's 1,100 guys on the street, and you're trying to, and obviously you do this work consistently. So they have their eyes on particular players and what, and you know, so it's not like you're getting inundated. And if you do your job properly, you have intel, you kind of know who's going to be out there. And maybe there's a few surprises, but you shouldn't be that surprised. But it's a very busy time of year. And those two look exhausted. Yeah, it reminded me of last year's postseason press conference when after Jeffrey Lurie took him to the woodshed. Now that was about getting yelled at, and they were just mopey. This time, I think they were just tired.
Yeah, and you can tell. I think it does take a toll on him a little bit. I mean, I don't know if you saw that Bill Belichick clip of him saying it was the absolute worst part about being a coach is cutting guys, and I think there is a human element that, you know, that sometimes we forget. It takes a toll. I mean, to tell a lot of dudes. Yeah.
Like one of the things, you know, I get to see these guys, you know, all year, multiple times a week during the week. And man, they work hard. And, you know, obviously it's a very difficult job. It's a very difficult environment when you go to work and you know how competitive it is and you can be cut at any point unless you're a star player. And then you got all the people criticizing you outside the wall. So you get and all the people, you know, I was talking about Avante Maddox and they say, well, he's made of glass and, you know, or James Bradbury's trash. I mean, they're human beings. Yeah, it affects them. And it, of course, you know, when Nick has to cut people and how he has to cut people, yeah, it's a difficult thing to do.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So that's the human side of it. But what, John, did you take anything from, you know, what they said today besides the fact that that this is not the final roster? Did you take anything away from, you know, just
their, I mean, maybe it was because it was my James question, Bradbury, but I thought how he essentially said, and I got to reread the transcript, but I think he said essentially he was going to keep Anaiah Smith and Albert if they were healthy. Now that doesn't surprise me, and he basically said that enabled us to keep two extra players.
Right.
Now it doesn't surprise me with Anaiah because I always thought, you know, as long as he did something, you know, they were going to keep him in some form. But it very much surprises me about Albert that they were going to keep him, and he essentially intimated that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. John, last question, man. The 53, the initial 53 is set. What's your take, man? How's this roster look to you?
Well, as long as they stay healthy, they're going to be a significant Super Bowl contender. The starters are on offense. You know, this is probably the most gifted offense. I've been covering the team on a daily basis since 2016 and on a and even on a part-time basis back to 2013, and this is the most talented offense they've ever had, and that's even losing Jason Kelce. You know, you add Barkley and the playmakers and Dotson now, you know, Grant looks improved. Grant Calcaterra, I think you have more of a playmaking backup even at tight end than you've had in the past. And I think you still have a top five offensive line. But boy, I mean, the problem comes with if somebody gets hurt. And that's, you know, we talk about it all the time. There's nothing.
Right.
People get hurt in the NFL. There's nothing you can do to prevent it. But the wrong players, the wrong position, multiple injuries at the same position, which Doug Peterson used to talk about. There's certain, like, Kenny Gainwell's really good at running back. But, and Jahan Dotson, you got much better at receiver. We talked about how glum that was looking before they pulled off that trade. Now that looks better. Offensive line, boy. Just hope Lane and Landon and Jordan and Cam stay healthy. You can maybe survive Mekhi Becton, but the other four,
yeah,
they got to be out there.
I'm with you, man, on that. So we got to hope for health on that offensive line. Johnny Mac, good show, man. Thanks for working so damn hard covering this football team. I appreciate it. All the viewers appreciate it. Great stuff tonight, Johnny Mac. Get home safe, and we'll talk to you in the morning on Birds 365. All right, man?
All right, thanks, Andrew. Thanks, everybody.
Yep, thanks, Johnny Mac. There's John McMullen joining us. Great stuff from John McMullen. As always, he is one of the best to listen to, so I was waiting to get his opinion on everything that broke today. Nothing out of the ordinary, as you can see. I mean, I think it's the initial 53. I think we're going to see, you know, how this kind of breaks out with all the practice squad stuff. They're definitely not done yet, but certainly slim on that offensive line, so... we're going to see what they end up doing there. Tight ends, they got to add a tight end for sure. And I was happy to see the guys like Tristan McCollum, Patrick Johnson, and Thomas Booker make the team. I think that shows, you know, you reward guys for working their tail off, for showing up, for showing out, for looking good in camp. And they're on the team. And I think that's a great thing, even if they don't make it through to the end of the year. I think that's a very positive thing. So overall, I think this roster looks pretty good right now. A lot of depth on that defense. So we'll see if any of the starters can play up to snuff and be a good defense. So hopefully they can do it. I want to thank everybody for being here tonight. We have a great crowd. As always, you guys have been tremendous on the channel so far this offseason, this whole training camp and leading into the season. Just 10 days away, everybody. So thank you all. Thanks, Callie Baby. I see you, brother. Brian Butt Bidding. Brian, what's up, man? Joey B, good to see you back in here, man. Missed you. Joey B was one of our first ever listeners. For those who don't know, Joey B was here years ago. So Joey B, good to see you, man. Sydney Family, our man from Australia. Thanks for being here, Sydney. Jack Straw, Twiz the Jigga. Twiz, as always, man, thanks for being here, brother. Appreciate you. African Surf, Spike 23. What's up, Spike? Thanks for being here, man. All you guys, man, I can't thank you guys enough for making the channel grow, for showing love on the content, for dropping likes and everything. So good show tonight. I had a lot of fun doing it with John McMullen. We'll be back 8 a.m., maybe Birds 365 as always. So we have Mike Gill in the morning, and then we'll have Andrew DiCecco from Inside the Birds. Andrew has done a great job all camp covering this team. He is really turning into one of the best beat reporters, in my opinion. Very objective, very smart guy, knows his football. So two great guests in Birds on Birds 365 in the morning. Hit that like button on your way out, everybody. Thanks, everybody. Sydney's been here since 9K. Abe, what's up, Abe? All of our members, thank you. Game Time, Brian. Appreciate you being here, brother. South Jersey. Thanks, everybody. See you next time and see you in the morning on Birds 365. Thanks, everybody.
Michael Vick at BetUS.com. Catch an incredible 125% sign-up bonus on your first three deposits, plus 10% gambler's insurance. BetUS, my online sportsbook and casino.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today.
BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us.
Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination.
One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.